Do please be seated.
Thank you.
All of the Gospels, all four of them, tell of Jesus crossing a lake in a storm. The notion of personal storms, like family feuds or your finances, that's more an Old Testament thing. It's in Job, it's in Proverbs, a psalm or two. But in the New Testament, storms are always, they always involve the church, corporate, a number of people, say, going across the lake in a boat, the church specifically in trouble. The followers of, the first followers of Jesus were seldom safe. Mark 5 is their first mission beyond the Jewish homeland, from the relative safety of Israel into the Decapolis, a city of, a region of 10 cities, southwest Syria, and then going down further to Amman, Jordan. Captain Jesus gave the order, so they sailed into danger. Be it the Decapolis or Young and Bluer, across the bridge or to the ends of the earth, when Jesus goes where the wild things are, we must follow. When next the disciples with Jesus cross a lake, it's to another non-Jewish land, and wouldn't you know, another storm. Something there is that doesn't want the gospel of peace spread among barbarians. But that is our mission. To see people, as the collect said, freed from all that darkens and ensnares us, and to be brought into the eternal life and joy. That's our mission. As many of you know, the church is often seen as a ship of faith, or depending on how we behave, a ship of fools. I've been to the website. Pews, rows on row, is called, that area is called the nave, from navy, because it's waves, you see. Most churches, people in most churches, want their boat to stay safely anchored to shore. Why? Because we've read the book, and we know that whenever we sail, there's a storm coming. The powers of evil, all the way through Mark's gospel, oppose the mission of Jesus, whether he's in the desert, at his home synagogue, or on this, his first foreign trip to foreign territory. Notice, Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. The same word used for rebuking a demon. Jesus has power over evil. Interesting, the Gospel of Mark on Jewish territory also starts with a story about a demon-possessed man. He has an unclean spirit. He confronts Jesus, crying, "What have you had to do with us?" He knows Jesus' name and what kind of being he is. He pleads not to be destroyed, and Jesus casts the thing out, almost identical to what is happening at the beginning of Mark 5 on foreign territory. You see how Mark, the author, is laying this out for us. First ministry among the Jews, and then this half-Jewish area. But this Gentile in Mark 5 is much worse off than the one in Mark 1. And we see in him both personal and political evil. Evil's task is to undermine our identity, to exploit our inconsistencies, and to infect our woundedness. Identity. This besieged man didn't know who or what he was. Was he one or was he many? My singular name is Legion, for we are many. Is he one or many? Was he man or beast? They tied him up to tame him. You don't tame people, you tame animals. And whatever was in him was fit for swine. Was he dead or alive? He lived among the dead. One or many, man or beast, dead or alive, evil undermines our identity. Secondly, evil used him as their personal gymnasium, exploiting his inconsistencies. The chains, as you can suspect, were an ancient form of therapy. If they can't fix what's inside him, they'll restrain him on the outside. Failing to cast out what troubled him, he was cast out with his troubles. Notice, he's spiritually captive himself, but then he tries to capture Jesus. It's a technical phrase. I adjure you, by God. I'm going to bind you by God, this bound man, bound by the Spirit, says. And then once he's delivered, he's ambivalent. He hopes the spirits won't go too far away. He's in love even with what is binding him. Isn't that something like us sometimes? Evil exploits our inconsistencies. It also infects our woundedness. He beat himself with rocks. It says in the text we had here, he cut himself with rocks. One of the things that we discovered as soon as we started ministry across the bridge, in meeting and talking with parents, with teachers, and with kids, is the large number of preteens and teenagers who are cutting because the pain of the cut speaks louder to them than the other issues that they have of identity, of struggle, of acceptance, etc. What was new to us was the phenomenon of group cutting. So you would gather together with a bunch of your friends and you would take a razor blade, and with three or four sitting around in a circle, you would cut while everybody else cut. And then collectively you would have a group experience, I suppose in a perverse way, like communion, sharing in the pain and sacrifice. This man cut himself with rocks. He cried 24/7 in tombs and mountains. No self-control, no one to help him or cry with him, nothing to hide his shame. He tore his clothes off, no escape from the pain. Evil undermines our identity, exploits our inconsistencies, and infects our woundedness. You don't have to be possessed to have a confused identity. C.S. Lewis said that before he met Jesus, he was a, quote, zoo of lusts, a bedlam of ambitions, a nursery of fears, a harem of fondled hatreds. My name was Legion. Those few people who know me before and after my conversion could use those phrases to describe me. Does anything in this life, this man's life, mirror, even in a minor way, something in yours? Beaten down by others, divided against yourself, living alone among the dismal tombs of life. Somebody put it this way, I feel like 6,000 soldiers inside me. Sometimes they march left, sometimes they march right, sometimes in a different direction. I'm pulled one way than another. There's an army inside me and I'm losing the war. Now let me be clear. Demon possession and mental health issues should never be confused. They are two different things, categorically different. They're not the same. But we can all be battered by the sickness at the heart of things. We are being encouraged by Bell Telephone and a number of others to be more open about our conversations around mental health issues. That's a good thing, because the more we talk about it, the more we're able to be able to respond and not be frightened of what we see. In the Atlantic magazine, someone named Scott Stossel shares about his lifelong attempts to deal with the anguish of anxiety. He identifies himself as a twitchy bundle of phobias, fears, and neuroses. He says, even when not actively afflicted by acute episodes, I'm buffeted by worry. I've tried, here's what he's tried. 3 decades of individual psychotherapy, family and group therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, rational emotive behavior therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, hypnosis, meditation, role-playing, interoceptive and in vivo exposure therapy, self-help books, massage, prayer, acupuncture, yoga, stoic philosophy, audio tapes I ordered off a late-night TV infomercial, and medication. Lots of medication. Thorazine, disopramine, Prozac, Zoloft, Praxil, Wellbutrin, Effexor, Celexa, Lexapro, Enderol. I'm going to skip a couple of lines of these. It just goes on. St. John's wort, Zolpidem, Valium, Librium, Ativan, Xanax, Clonopin. Also, beer, wine, gin, bourbon, vodka, and scotch. Here's what worked. Nothing. We need God's grace and power in our weakness. We need people who will listen patiently to our deep pain and our frustration at our own powerlessness when mental health crumbles. But note this, Jesus never rebukes such people. He never tells them to repent. That's not the problem. He loves and liberates them. So this man is a demonstration of personal evil. It also speaks to us of political evil. Legion, the name, if it's a name, is a force of 6,000 Roman soldiers. The legions of Rome subdued Israel. Did you know that the troop that came to decimate Jerusalem was actually the wild boars of the 10th Roman legion? That's kind of like a pig, right? Related. That was in 70 AD. Military oppression is often demon-like, but also cultural oppression. Getting Jews to eat pork, great way, symbolic way of assimilating them into the prevailing culture. So the persecutors who came into Jerusalem made them eat pork. Assimilation for the Jews was fatal compromise. It's a potent tool. Do you know that in Capernaum, archaeological digs, Capernaum was supposedly a Roman city, but also there was a lot of Jews living there. They found pig bones in every single basement. It was working. Assimilate the Jews. Make them lose their identity. And then notice in this story, back to the story, the people of the Decapolis of the 10 cities were not at all glad that this man was freed. They were raising those pigs for market. They begged Jesus to leave because the cash value of faith in him was too high. As Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said, governments have a responsibility to keep their citizens safe while defending our rights and freedoms. Expelling Jesus protected the rights and freedoms of the farmers in that region to raise and sell pigs. Without worrying about Jesus. You wonder whether the joke was on the spirits. They had asked Jesus not to destroy them. Instead, the pigs did the deed. Or was it the spirits' plan all along? To drown the pigs in the lake, which would enrage the locals, who would then cast Jesus out of the land, very successful. Clever. Political evil can be demonically inspired. The deeply worrying, horrifying acts of war unleashed in the slaughters in Paris, Beirut, Baghdad earlier this year, Kenya, the downing of the Russian plane over the Sinai, many other crimes orchestrated by ISIS, Daesh, Boko Haram, and others, and condemned by Muslims worldwide and all other good people. These are acts so base, even the demons would cringe. Where were you, Jesus? One man freed, and then you leave? Was your first foray into a foreign land a failure? You and your disciples deported? There's not much to show for your first foreign mission. There are three prayers in Mark chapter 5. Demons pray to Jesus that they might go to the pigs. Done. The villagers pray that Jesus would leave. Done. The man made whole prays that he might go with Jesus to follow him. And he is denied. Why? Because even with Christ's death and resurrection that won the victory against sin and death, you and I still have work to do at home. There was enough trouble in this man to fill a herd of swine, and enough swine to fill the sea, but with simply a day's training, he sends him home. You ever tried to witness the gospel at home? Some of you just love Christmas for that very reason. Sitting in a room believing one thing and other people not being able to control their tongues because they're just not trying to control their tongues, and you feel offended about every third word. And now you're going to witness. Home is the smallest, the hardest, the most trying, and the largest of all parishes, said David Burrell. It's the smallest because it's just four walls. It's the hardest since, as everybody knows, it's much easier to do what I'm doing right now, which is talk to a big crowd of people, than it is to make solemn and sure witness around people who really know you. It's the most trying because it turns the searchlight of closest scrutiny on one's walk and conversation. And it is the largest sphere because out of this circle, out of the home, circle of home, issue all of the issues of life. I found this story years ago. Welsh evangelist Christmas Evans beautifully portrays the scene of this man returning home. The children look out the window. They see him coming. Trembling, they cry, "Mother, Father's coming up the path." And she exclaims, "Bar the doors. Shut the windows. Your father is a maniac. It's not safe." And every door is fastened and every window shut. But curious, like children, they climb up on the chairs and peek out under the curtains. "Mother, it's Father, but it's not Father. It looks like him, but he's walking steadily and slowly up the path. And he's coming quietly toward the house." She warns, "Keep perfectly still, get your heads down, for your poor father is not himself." His hand is placed upon the latch of the door, but it does not yield. And then comes a gentle knocking. At last, a voice which they have not heard in years. "Open the door. For I have seen Jesus of Nazareth, and he has set me free. Let me come in, and I will be a good husband to you and a good father to the children. Jesus has sent me home to start over and show what he has done for me in this dry and weary land." And at great risk, the door was opened. And when he entered, he brought heaven with him. No fantasy, continues Christmas Evans. This story has been realized in 10,000s of homes and may be realized in every life. The final joke was on the spirits. One man's personal salvation led to the political salvation of thousands. Follow the trail. When this man arrived home, all the people wanted to know what had happened. And so he started telling what happened to him with Jesus. A few chapters later, about chapter 6 in Mark, we'll find them going, it's actually after chapter 6, but he's going across the lake again. And he ends up in this region. And when he does, 4,000 people show up. So he fed the 5,000 on the one side. Now he has to feed 4,000 on the other side. They were his friends, this man's friends, 4,000 of them, to greet Jesus. And decades later, when the wild boars of the 10th Roman Legion were destroying Jerusalem, this very region, the region of the Decapolis, became the safe refuge for tens of thousands of Christians received over there. It became a new center for the church for a time. Never underestimate the power of one soul transformed by Jesus. What is the answer to ISIS and Boko Haram? Your faithfulness to tell what God has done to you in your home. And it spreads from there. So do as Jesus told him. Go home to your friends and family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has had mercy on you, and then be prepared to be amazed by what Jesus does with that. Let us pray. Lord, in the face of unspeakable evil demonstrated in Paris, inflicted on the people of Baghdad and Beirut and Kenya and Niger and the Central African Republic, the violence between Israeli and Palestinian, always there seems to be some force that wants to do away with humanity. Yet Jesus is the light that we might be freed from all that endangers and ensnares us. May we, as the song said, learn to be the light, even where we are. Because it is in the name of the light, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.